As soon as we come back to the world, in a sense, from the feast, we are bombarded with man's holidays. Christmas items are right next to the Halloween items for sale in every store that you see. If you're like me, I can't wait to get past these holidays. Today is Halloween. And as traditions go, the children will dress up in costumes like Superman and Captain America and go from house to house seeking candy. However, most traditional costumes, they dress up as witches, ghosts, devils, vampires, or other monsters. Mostly dark and evil caricatures. Of course, this year is going to be a little bit different because of the COVID pandemic, that many will not do the traditional trick-or-treating. But even the adults will still dress up and go to parties celebrating this day. So why does the media in our society make such a big deal out of this holiday? We see it in the news reports, how the weatherman's telling us, oh, how it's going to be a great day for the trick-or-treaters, and everybody's all, caring so much about that, and the media also is out there glamorizing and all, visiting all these haunted houses, and of course all the different scary movies that are out there. A lot of the networks want to play all these scary movies for everybody. Wherever you turn, it's in our face. So today we're going to briefly look at this Halloween holiday. Now, where does it come from and what does it represent? And more importantly, are Christians to honor this day? From the Britannica.com, it says that Halloween is a contraction of All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve, which is also the title of this sermonette. All Hallows Eve, a holiday observed on October 31st, the evening before All Saints Day, or All Hallows Day, also called All Hallows or Hallow Mass. See, All Hallows Eve, or Hallow Eve, means holy evening. It was contracted to the name Hallow Eve with a hyphen between the two E's, and then eventually just Halloween is where it came down to make it simple for those wanting to say it. The October 31st celebration, the mark of the day before the Western Christian Feast of All Saints, which is November 1st, and initiates the season of All Hallowtide, which lasts 3 days and concludes with All Souls Day on November 2nd. So it's a Western Christian feast. That's what it says. It's a Western Christian feast. So how did this come to be? Well, for the answers, we must look to the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic.org, according to Catholic.org, it says, All Saints Day is a solemn holy day of the Catholic Church celebrated annually on November 1st. The day is dedicated to the saints of the church, that is, all those who have attained heaven. And it should not be confused with All Souls Day, which is observed on November 2nd, which is dedicated to those who have died and not have yet reached heaven. All Saints Day is also commemorated by members of the Eastern Orthodox Church, as well as some Protestant churches like the Lutheran and the Anglican churches. So how did this all begin? Well, in the 7th century AD, Pope Boniface IV established All Saints Day originally on May 13th. And in the following century, perhaps, in an effort to supplant some pagan holidays with a Christian observance, it was moved to November 1st. Now, the evening before All Saints' Day became holy, or hallowed, holy or hallowed Eve, and thus Halloween. So All Saints' Day was formally started by Pope Boniface IV, who consecrated the Pantheon at Rome that was given to him by the emperor to the Virgin Mary and all the martyrs on May 13th in 609 AD. Part of the reason for this day was that the Catholic Church honored many saints with their own day of celebration, kind of like St. Patrick's Day, St. Joseph's Day, which is important to the Italians. But their number of saints continued to grow and grow beyond 365 days of the year, so not each saint could have their own day. And it's because that they continued to add more of the old pagan gods and making them into saints now. So they kept on coming up with more. So what they did is they decided to have an All Saints Day for everybody else that they kind of left out. And that's how this actually came into it. And yes, they actually did turn pagan gods into saints to please those who still honored them and actually worshiped them. Dionysus is the Greek god of wine, winemaking, grape cultivation, fertility, ritual madness, theater, and religious ecstasy. His Roman name was Bacchus. And even though there was a pope with the name Dionysus later on that reached sainthood, the god was made a saint way before that time. The Roman god Mars became Saint Martin. Aphrodite became Saint Aphrodite. And Demeter, which was a goddess of many different festivals, became Saint Demetrius, a masculine warrior saint. And the Celtic deity named Brigid actually became known as Saint Brigid of Ireland. See, Pope Boniface IV, he also established All Souls Day, which follows All Saints for those that are stuck in purgatory or are wandering the land as ghosts because they were not worthy of reaching heaven. So they had to have a day for them too. The choice of the day at that time may have been intended to co-opt the pagan holiday, the Feast of Lemures, a day which the pagans used to placate the restless spirits of the dead. The Lemuria took place on three different days in May, on the 9th, on the 11th, and on the 13th of May. The Roman households gave their offering to deceased ancestors to make sure their ancestors didn't haunt them. The festival got its name from Remoria, a festival named after Remus, who was Romulus's twin brother, whom he killed after founding Rome, as legend goes. Remus appeared as a ghost after his death and asked his brother's friends to make future generations honor him. According to the great Roman poet Ovid, said that Romulus complied and gave the name Remoria to the day on which due worship is paid to the buried ancestors. Eventually, Remoria became Lemuria. However, there are some scholars that don't agree with the etymology of this. However, instead support that it likely was Lemuria was named after Lemures, which is some type of a Roman spirit that roams around. It's all about spirits roaming around and stuff. But regardless of these days, the church in Rome was determined to sway the masses away from these different pagan practices and beliefs to their new system of Christianity, which in all accounts became a mixture of both Christian and pagan traits. The Holy Day was eventually established on November 1st by Pope Gregory III, who was the 90th Pope, in the mid-8th century as a day dedicated to the saints and their relics. Now, the May 13th celebration was subsequently abandoned after two more popes named Gregory, Pope Gregory the IV and Pope Gregory the VII, they officially mandated November 1st to be honored rather than May 13th. The Roman Catholic Church denies that they established these days honoring the dead to dissuade converts from celebrating their former pagan rituals, but the way it was celebrated dates back before Christianity. Halloween had its origins in the festival of Samhain. Samhain. Now, let me spell out Samhain for you, since it's a Gaelic word that's pronounced Samhain. It's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. S-A-M-H-A-I-N. I would say Samhain, but it's a Gaelic word, and so it's actually pronounced Samhain. Now, Samhain was among the Celtics of Britain and Ireland, where they honored this god, the Celtics there. On the day corresponding to November 1st on the contemporary calendars, the new year was actually believed to begin. The date was considered the beginning of the winter period, the date on which the herds were returned from pastures and land tenures were renewed. During the Samhain festival, the souls of those who have died were believed to have returned to visit their homes, and those who have died during the year were believed to journey to the other world. People set bonfires on hilltops for relighting their hearth fires for the winter and to frighten away evil spirits. And they sometimes wore masks and other disguises to avoid being recognized by the ghost thought to be present. It was in those ways that beings such as witches, hobgoblins, fairies, and demons came to be associated with the day. The period was also thought to be favorable for divination on matters such as marriage, health, and death. When the Romans conquered the Celts in the first century, they added their own festivals of Feralia, another day commemorating the passing of the dead, and also the Pomona, the goddess of the harvest. There's actually a place called Pomona, California, in the Los Angeles area, and it was named after this goddess. Now, history.com says that Halloween evolved from the Celtic holiday of Samhain. Over the centuries, Halloween transitioned from the pagan ritual to a day of practice of costumes, jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treating for kids and adults. The Celtic rituals and holidays stood in the way of the Catholic Church's attempt to convert the masses, and many of these rituals are eventually absorbed and incorporated into the Christian faith of false Christianity. The Celtics established what is called the Wheel of the Year, which is an annual cycle of 8 seasonal festivals. And they're observed by many modern pagans, including the Wiccans, which was founded in England between 1921 and 1950, but more popularized in the 1980s and 90s. And there's a whole bunch of them out there now. The Wheel of the Year consists of the year's chief solar events, solstices, equinoxes, and the midpoints that are in between them. That's when they hold their, what they call, sabbats. And they stole that from the Jews, Sabbaths. Much of the modern pagan practice is based on this Wheel of the Year, a major determining factor in the Celtic worship. The Celtic year was divided into 2 halves, light and dark, which were delineated by 2 of their 4 annual fire festivals. In between rituals and ceremonies were celebrated Mark and solstices, which is when the night is either the shortest or it's the longest. And equinoxes, and that's when the day and the night are pretty much equal. Now, Samhain, the fire festival that marked the beginning of the dark half of the year, is situated between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. Okay, this actually starts the dark period, the beginning of the dark period, and isn't it remarkable that we're turning our clocks back tonight, too? Samhain is considered by Wiccans to be one of the four greater Sabbats observed on October 31st. Samhain is also known as, of course, Halloween, the third harvest, the Day of the Dead, Feast of the Dead, Shadow Fest, Ancestor Night, and Old Hallow Mass. Now, according to Wiccan.com, Samhain is considered by some as a time to celebrate the lives of those who have passed on, and is often involves paying respect to ancestors, family members, elders of the faith, friends, pets, and other loved ones who have died. Aligned with the contemporary observance of Halloween and the Day of the Dead, now the Day of the Dead, that's a Mexican holiday that spread in popularity to parts of the United States and across Latin America. It's celebrated actually from October 31st until November 2nd. To coincide with both the American tradition and the Catholic holy days. In some rituals, the spirits of the departed are invited to attend the festivities. It is seen as the festival of darkness, which is balanced at the opposite point of the wheel by the festival of Beltane, which is a celebration of a festival of light and fertility. Now, Beltane, that actually is May 1st, May Day. You've probably heard of the Maypole, May Day. That's where that comes from. Now, many pagans believe that at Samhain today, the veil between this world and the afterlife is at its thinnest point of the whole year, making it easier to communicate with those that have left the world, mediums. Now, associated deities, there's a lot of associated deities to this day. One of them is Banba. Banba is the patron goddess of Ireland and the daughter of Delbaith and Ermis of the Tutha de Dana. The Tutha de Dana is the Irish name for the tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan. Tutha de Danann, the tribe of Dan. So they had a lot of influence with some of the gods as they distorted their beliefs. Now, Caelic is another goddess of the cold and the wind, sometimes known as the Veiled One or the Queen of Winter. Another one of these Celtic gods. Durga is the Hindu goddess of war, which is associated with this day. Hecate is a Greek goddess associated with crossroads, night, magic, witchcraft, knowledge of poison plants, ghosts, necromancy, and sorcery. Of course, that one's included with one of these deities that they honor. Hel, H-E-L, the old Norse goddess who rules over the identical named place, Hel, the underworld where many of the dead dwell. Also, Inanna, the ancient Mesopotamian goddess associated with love, beauty, sex, war, justice, political power. She was later worshipped by the Akkadians, the Babylonians, and the Assyrians under the name Ishtar. She was also known as the Queen of Heaven. Morrigan is the Irish goddess associated with war and fate, especially of foretelling doom, death, or victory in battle. The more The Morrigan is often described as a trio of individuals, three sisters, or a trinity. Rhianna. Rhianna is the Welsh horse goddess. And there's a song about her. The Dagda is an important god in Irish mythology. One of the Tuatha De Danann, again the tribe of Dan, the Dagda is portrayed as a father figure, king, and druid. He is associated with fertility, agricultural, manliness, and strength, as well as magic, druidry, and wisdom. Persephone, Hades, Loki, Odin, and Pluto are all associated with this celebration of Samhain, as other pagan days of different names are honoring the dead as well. And that's what this is all about. Now the symbols of Samhain: gourds, apples, black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, balefire, mask, the cauldron, waning moon, and the colors of Samhain, you probably already guessed it, black, orange, white, silver, and gold. Samhain is arguably the most visible Sabbat in the mainstream world, thanks to the parallel holiday of Halloween. Many of the Halloween traditions celebrated in contemporary cultures today have grown out of the customs dating back to pagan times. As far back as the ancient Greece, people were leaving food offerings to their ancestors, which echoes the modern tradition of trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating is also said to have derived from the ancient Irish and Scottish practices and the nights that lead up to Samhain. In Ireland, mummin, that was what they called it, mummin was the practice of putting on costumes, going door to door and singing songs to the dead, and cakes were given as payments. The practice of leaving root vegetables hollowed out with lighted candles inside to guide the spirits visiting Earth ultimately led to today's jack-o'-lanterns. Carved turnips called jack-o'-lanterns began to appear during this festival, attached by springs and sticks embedded with burning coal to give light. Later Irish tradition switched to pumpkins, and we still do that today. There's an interesting Irish myth about a man nicknamed Stingy Jack. You'll have to ask me later about it. Stingy Jack, who had confrontations with the devil. He eventually became known as Jack of the Lantern, or then simply Jack O'Lantern. An old Irish myth. Witches, of course, have always been part of the mainstream Halloween lore. And although they have almost always been presented as evil caricatures with no resemblance to the real thing, there is still a lingering association between the spirit of Halloween and the real power of the witch. The Wiccans believe that they're witches. Now there are some Samhain monsters too. You gotta have some monsters, right? Because the Celts believed that the barrier between the worlds was breachable at this time during Samhain. It's the thinnest. So they prepared offerings and left it out in the villages, fields for the fairies to come and get it, or they called them sins. It was expected that the ancestors might actually cross over during this time as well, and the Celts would dress up as animals and monsters so that the fairies were not attempted to kidnap them. Again, a reason for dressing up. Some specific monsters were associated with mythology around Samhain, including a shape-shifting creature called the Puka that receives harvest offerings from the field. Now, the Lady Gwyn, listen, this is kind of interesting. Now, the Lady Gwyn, well, she's a headless woman dressed in white who chases night wanderers and was accompanied by a black pig. You know, I'm not joking about this, okay? Also, the Dullahan. The Dullahan sometimes appeared as impish creatures, sometimes, mostly, as headless men on horses who carried their heads. Riding flamed-eyed horses, their appearance was a death omen to anyone who encountered them. Kind of got into our own American folklore with the legend of Sleepy Hollow. One of the most popular Samhain stories told during the festivities was the Second Battle of Mag Torrid, which portrays the final conflict between the Celtic pantheon known as the Tutha Dedanna, the tribe of Dan, and the evil oppressors known as the Formor. The myths state that the battle unfolded over the period of Samhain, and there are many tales that go on about this Day of the Dead. But by the end of the Middle Ages, the secular and sacred days of Samhain and All Hallows Eve had merged together. The Reformation essentially put an end to the religious holiday among most Protestants, although in Britain especially, Halloween continued to be celebrated as a secular holiday. Along with other festivities, the celebration of Halloween was largely forbidden among the early American colonists, although in the 1800s there developed festivities that marked the harvest and incorporated many of the elements of Halloween. When a large number of immigrants, including the Irish, went to the United States beginning in the mid-19th century, they took their Halloween costumes with them, and in the 20th century, Halloween became one of the principal U.S. holidays, particularly among children. Eventually, All Hallows Eve evolved into Halloween, becoming more popular in secular culture than All Saints Day. The pagan turn Christian practices of dressing up in costumes, playing pranks, and handing out offerings have evolved into popular traditions, even for those who might not even believe in otherworldly spirits or even saints. However, whether Halloween celebrants know it or not, they're following the legacy of the ancient Celts, who, with the festivities of Samhain, celebrated the inevitability of death and rebirth. They're still honoring these pagan gods. Now, you cannot find any support for Halloween in your Bible, because God is adamantly opposed to it. And the pagan occult practices it revels in. He warns his people to have nothing to do with these things. In Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Eternal, your God. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and beginning in verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. This is a big practice during Halloween. For those who do these things are an abomination to the Eternal. And because of these abominations, the Eternal, your God, drives them out before you. These things were even going on in the land of Canaan under their different gods, these same practices when they were going in there. What does God say? Well, God doesn't take Halloween very lightly at all. He says, learn not the way of the heathen. That's in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2, the old King James Version. And also he says, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. No, you don't do that. That's Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30. See, the author of sin and death is Satan the devil. And he's the one that's the behind-the-scenes author of these pagan customs and everything, like Halloween. And also of the Celtic holy day of Yule, which false Christianity actually took those customs and morphed it into what they call Christmas. Again, one of those celebrations on the wheel of the year. See, God's holy days in the Bible, which we just went through the cycle, they celebrate the role of Jesus Christ in bringing all of mankind to salvation in the eternal family of God. God's holy days honor Jesus the Christ and God the Father. And it celebrates life. Celebrates life, eternal life. Eternal life for all those who repent. To become like God in his family as spirit beings. Halloween is a celebration of just the opposite. Of demonism, witchcraft, death, and evil spirits. We must not pretend that this day is okay. And it's nice for the children. It's not. It is pure evil and does not teach any godly principles to children whatsoever. God's holy days do teach us all the way of life, the way life should be lived. I look forward to the spring holy days.